this morning. Yesterday, Nathan and I were working in the yards. We have beautiful sycamore trees out in front. We live in a cul-de-sac. So all the leaves and the pollen, and they're beautiful for about 2 months in the summer. The other months, not so beautiful. But it was hot. We were getting thirsty, and by the time I sat down, I was overdone. And I said, "Nate, go get me a bottle of water." So he went in and he got me a bottle of water, and I drank that, and I started to think about this text that I'm preaching this morning and the importance of water for our bodies. You see, we know the facts about water. Water makes up anywhere between 60 and 70% of a person's body weight. Approximately 80% of your brain tissue is made of water. The average amount of water you need per day is about 3 liters. And we know this too. A person can live for about a month without food, but at the most, only about a week without water. Maybe this is why Jesus used water as an analogy for how he comes to people by the power of the Holy Spirit. The people of Israel would know, as they remember their history, the importance of water. Because for 40 years, they traveled the desert before they entered into the promised land. Today, we're going to be talking about not only water for our bodies, but maybe more importantly, water that quenches the thirst of our souls. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, today we celebrate Pentecost, the giving of your Holy Spirit to all your people. We know, Lord Christ, that you speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Spirit, we welcome you here. Thank you that you have given us eyes to see, ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to receive the gift of these words. May the words then of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We start with verse 37. We're going to get a little bit of a history lesson this morning. On the last day of the last and greatest day of the festival, chapter 7 deals with Jesus going to Jerusalem for regular pilgrimage to celebrate the Festival of the Tabernacles. The Festival of the Tabernacles was celebrated on the 15th day of the 7th month, commemorating the wandering of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years after they were released from Egypt and before they entered with Joshua, not Moses, into the Promised Land. Typically, they lived in booths, and so as they come to Jerusalem, they don't get a hotel or a nice room, but they constructed these booths made of palm and willow trees, and that represented the dwelling places of the people of Israel when they were living in the desert. So they scaled things way back. Now, the first and eighth days were the most significant. So it was an eight-day celebration, and they had this water ceremony that they practiced. It's the water drawing of the priests and then a water offering. Now, that was practiced the first through the seventh day, and on the seventh day, instead of the priest just offering two times around the altar, we'll talk about that in a minute, but he processed 7 times around the altar before he offered the water offering. Then the eighth day, the day we most likely are catching Jesus, is a special day of remembrance and typically was celebrated as the Sabbath. So the priest then, during this Feast of the Tabernacles, it's also called the Feast of, or the Festival of Booths, obviously, because they would set up these booths. He would go with a golden pitcher that was used to gather the water to the temple, and he would walk down to the Pool of Siloam. You've heard of the Pool of Siloam. This is the place when Jesus healed the man who was blind. He was supposed to go to the Pool of Siloam and wash his eyes with the water. The Pool of Siloam was located inside the city, and it was the water source for the city of Jerusalem. As the priest reached down and grabbed the water. Then there would be this great processional back to the temple. There would be a trumpet blast. Actually, the trumpet would be blown 3 times at the water gate. Why is it named the water gate? That's where they brought the water in from. See, you're learning already. And so the trumpet would be blasted 3 times. When the priest got up with the pitcher of water to the altar, all of the people would begin the Hallel. That word is in Hebrew means praise, and it's the recitation of Psalms 113 through 118. And so the culmination then are these words: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Have you heard those before? We profess those words. We use Psalm 118 this morning, the beginning, verse 1, and the end, verse 29, the end of the psalm, to praise God today. Can you imagine now Jesus being with this crowd in Jerusalem, in the temple, with the water offering and the priests and the disciples and all of the Jews praising God with the same psalm then we use to praise God this morning? Gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? What a gift Psalm 118 is. And as that psalm, the Hallel, came to its conclusion, the people would take their lolab and their citrus fruit. The lolab was just a twist of branches wrapped with typically a palm branch or willow and myrtle, and they would begin to shake it, and they would take their citrus fruit, remembering the harvest that was to come and the faithfulness of God through the harvest, and they would sing these Psalms, 113 through 118. And then the priest would take the drink offering and pour it in one of 2 silver bowls, and then the priest would take the water offering and pour it in the other of the silver bowls, and then he would offer these to God, and he would pour them on the altar as a sacrifice of blood and water. Isn't that interesting then? When you think of the sacrifice of blood and water upon the altar, is there somebody that comes to mind? How about Jesus on the cross, where, as the scriptures say, he poured out his blood, and as the spear pierced him in the side, blood and water mingled down. You see, God knows what he's doing well before he does it. And so this festival of the tabernacles is where we catch up with Jesus. The Israelites would recite 2 Old Testament texts, one Exodus 17, verses 1 through 6, to remember the past and God's faithfulness. I will stand there before you by the rock of Oreb, says God to Moses. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. In celebrating the festival of booths or festival or feast of the tabernacles, Israel is remembering God's faithfulness. But that's not only what they're doing. They would also have read Ezekiel 47, 1 through 11, verse 1. The man brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the temple faced east, and the water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. This was to commemorate and to hope in the future of God's faithfulness through the Messiah. The last days is the prophecy here of Ezekiel. And this water would begin as a trickle from the temple, and then every 1,000 cubits, that's about 1,700 feet, the river began to grow. It was ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep, and finally, as Ezekiel remembers this prophecy, the river became impassable. This was a vision of the future for Israel, that God would bless this broken, dry, cracked desert in which they lived with water. Jesus takes this moment when he's with all of the people You see, the Jews would have pilgrimaged from near and far to be there for this festival. And in our text, it says Jesus stood up on the last day of the festival. He was getting the people's attention. He said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Jesus makes two declarations here at the Festival of Tabernacles. The first is this: the thirsty will be satisfied by drinking Jesus. Jesus is now going to spiritualize the metaphor of water. It's been a literal metaphor that their bodies are now being filled up with water by God. It was an expectation of the eschaton, that's the end of the age, that God would pour out these waters from the temple and quench the thirst of all people, especially his people Israel. And now Jesus says, but guess what? Our souls, which are thirsty, can be quenched by drinking me. In John 4, chapter 4, verses 10 and 14, Jesus said to the woman at the well, do we remember the story? The Samaritan woman at the well, the disciples had left Jesus to go into the town. Jesus sitting there with the woman, and he says to the Samaritan, could you fetch me some water? And uncharacteristically, she gets him water. They begin to have this conversation. He points out to her her sins and her brokenness and need for soul quenching. And he uses that moment to talk about the living water, the water that quenches the soul. And he says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. This living water isn't the water that we drink to satisfy our bodies. This living water is receiving the gift of Christ that quenches the thirst of our souls. And then in verse 14, he says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This isn't the only place that Jesus refers to himself as living water. And living water has become very meaningful for the people of Israel. Maybe not so much for us here today. We get water at our fingertips whenever and wherever we need it. But living water here symbolizes three things. First, God's salvation through the person and work of Jesus Christ. When he says, I am the living water, he means that salvation comes through me. Isaiah 55, 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, says the Lord. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Isaiah is prophesying the gift of Christ that is a gift of grace. It's not something that we can earn or deserve or work toward. Now, that would be works righteousness. But Isaiah reminds us that God's salvation comes through his Son. Number two, living water symbolizes God's divine wisdom. The writer of Proverbs says in 13 and verse 14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. And so when Jesus offers himself as the living water, he offers nothing less than salvation. Then he offers wisdom and the wisdom of God. And lastly, living water symbolizes God's gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is why, by the way, John gives his commentary in verse 29 about Jesus speaking of the Spirit. Because John would know this text, Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. You see how those two understandings of water, one a literal understanding of the water that quenches both the land and our bodies, and the metaphor of water that's used by God throughout history and now by Christ himself to talk about the quenching of our spirits and our souls. And so then, the Apostle John can say, by this, by these words, by these two teachings, when Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, number one, and whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers then of living water will flow from within them. That's the second teaching of Jesus here. And then John gives his commentary and says, by this he, Jesus, meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. When John says given, he means corporately. We heard a reading from the Old Testament where, of course, the Spirit was on the prophets there speaking. And so Jesus says, come to me, all who are thirsty. You will be satisfied with my drink. And he says, livers. That's a good one, Corey. Let's submit that to some article, some Christian magazine that wants to get what pastors messed up on. Livers of living water. Rivers of living water will flow from within those who believe in Jesus. Jesus said the waters are welling in up in us to eternal life. Maybe the greatest gift these days, it's kind of all the rage, isn't it, is to give a cup of water. You find in Haiti, there are campaigns to make water available for people there. You find that where people are without clean water, that wells are being sponsored and dug and water being provided. Still today, water is that life-giving sustenance that not everybody has. And that water is flowing out of God's people. But not just for the healing of the body, the quenching of the thirst that is in us, but also, and maybe even more importantly, those living waters, says Jesus, those spiritual waters will flow from our lives. By that, he means the flow of the Holy Spirit, not water itself, of course. And that's what we celebrate today on Pentecost. You know, sometimes we celebrate Pentecost and we miss its real meaning. I mean, Pentecost is certainly a gift to us, is it not? The Spirit has come upon us. But not just for our understanding and edification, but for the understanding and edification and the advancement of the gospel and the kingdom of God to all people. Paul's very clear about this, that when the Spirit indwells in us, God has given us gifts that we might proclaim the kingdom and serve Christ Jesus in it. Paul also says in Galatians chapter 5 that when we are filled up with the Spirit, that there is fruit that comes from that filling up. Peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, and the rest. It's neat to think that from the one source that brings spiritual life to all, that source then is in us. We are pitchers of the water of the Holy Spirit. So use this day, Pentecost, as you think about how God has poured into you the waters of everlasting life, to think about how you then will, as Jesus says, become a river of living water that will flow from within you to all people. This, friends, is the gift God has given for the benefit of the world. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.